In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day. Good day. It's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God. I'm going to read the first reading that we had at Mass yesterday. It's a very important reading for the Jewish people and also for us. And the Word of God says, "Moses spoke to the people, saying, the priest shall receive the basket from you and shall set it in front of the altar of God." That's the first fruits. "Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean who went down to Egypt with a small household and lived there as an alien. But there he became a nation, great, strong, and numerous. When the Egyptians maltreated and oppressed us, imposing hard labor upon us, we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and he heard our cry, and he saw our affliction, he saw our toil, he saw our oppression. He brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand and outstretched arm, with a terrifying power, with signs and wonders, and bringing us into the country that he gave us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Therefore I have now brought the first fruits of the product of the soil, which you, O Lord, have given me, and having set them before the Lord your God, you shall bow down in his presence." Now, what is this reading? As a matter of fact, it is the creed of Israel. It is what they believe. My father was a wandering Aramean. That's Abraham, my father. The Lord called him to leave his land and to go someplace else, to the Holy Land. Who went down to Egypt. We saw what happened in Egypt. And he had a small household and lived there as an alien. But there in Egypt he became a nation great, strong, and numerous. When the Egyptians maltreated and oppressed us, remember, to make the bricks without grass, they had to get their own grass, imposing hard labor upon us, we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and he heard our cry and saw our affliction, our toil, our oppression. He brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, with terrifying power, with signs and wonders, bringing us into the country that he gave us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Therefore I now brought you the first fruits of the products of the soil, which you, O Lord, have given me, and having set them before the Lord your God, you shall bow down in his presence. So we hear Israel really talking about her own history. This is a covenant renewal that takes place once a year, and it would be in Jerusalem. A covenant renewal, remembering what God has done for us. Now, when do we make the big covenant renewal as Catholics? When do we renew our baptismal vows? At Easter. Covenant renewal. Telling everyone what we believe. We believe in God, the Father Almighty. We believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Yes. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. And it goes on. This is our covenant renewal. We make it at Easter, but we do it every Sunday. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. Yes, the covenant renewal. And what happens after the covenant renewal is the collection, bringing the tenth, the tithe, in front of the altar of God. This is just takes its meaning from the Old Testament. We have a covenant renewal ourselves, and it is the covenant renewal of the creed. The creed. I'm telling you that we need to take very seriously what we believe. I remember when I was a young boy, a woman came up to me and asked me, if you were to tell me what you believe as a Catholic, what would you say? I said, the Apostles' Creed. She said, you're very, very astute. I said, yes, it tells us everything we believe. It's the covenant renewal. It is our creed. This creed from Deuteronomy was the creed of the Jews. Let's look a little closer at it. My father was a wandering Aramean. I'm going to look at the 12th chapter of Genesis. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make the name, your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. We bless Israel. We bless the house of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Abram went as the Lord had told him. I'm telling you, my father was a wandering Aramean. It's Abraham, Abram. And not only was he a wandering Aramean, who went down to Egypt. Remember, Joseph went to Egypt. He was like the governor. And then they were having lots of Hebrew children. And the Pharaoh wanted to kill the boys. Remember that. With a small household, and lived there as an alien. But there he became a nation, great, strong, and numerous. When the Egyptians maltreated and oppressed us, imposing hard labor upon us, we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers. Remember, then he chose Moses to do what he needed to do to get these people out of Egypt. It's their creed. It's their covenant renewal. We have a covenant renewal that we do at Easter. We renew the covenant with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The church renews her covenant. And we renew the covenant every Sunday in the Apostles' Creed or in the Nicene Creed. This is what Israel believed. Then the second reading is very interesting. What does Scripture say? This is very important. What does Scripture say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, let's confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's say it. Jesus Christ is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Jesus was raised from the dead by the Father. Yes, say it. Jesus was raised from the dead by the Father, then you will be saved, because we are proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus and the victory over death in the resurrection. For a man believes with the heart, and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. For Scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. Hallelujah. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, enriching all who call upon Him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I tell you, there is no other name under heaven by which man and woman are to be saved but the name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven by which we are to be saved but the name of Jesus. This is the word of the Lord, God's word, that the word is not far from us. But you see, now we go into the gospel and we're going to see what Jesus goes through in his temptations. Filled with the Holy Spirit, remember Jesus was in the Jordan and he was baptized by John, and the Holy Spirit came down upon him, and the Father spoke, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." He's hungry. He hasn't eaten in 40 days. If you are the Son of God, there's the problem. If you are the Son of God, prove it. Command this stone to become bread. So we see food is the first temptation. Food is the first temptation. If you are the Son of God, of course he's the Son of God. We remember what the enemy said to Adam in the garden. If you eat of the fruit, you'll become God. And God told them not to eat of the fruit. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Jesus answered him, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone." It is written. And I'm telling you, Jesus conquered the devil's temptations with the word of God. Jesus said, "Man does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant, all the tinsel of the world. And the devil said to him, "I shall give you all this power and glory, for you have handed it over to me, that I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Ah. First was food. The second is fortune. I'll give you this. The only thing you need to do is to worship me. This is temptation. You know, all the kingdoms of the world are a cross. What are you going to do? You're going to die on a cross when I can give you all the kingdoms of the world? Jesus said, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. It is written." Then he led him to Jerusalem and made him stand on the parapet of the temple. That was the highest point of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God," again the big if, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. They shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said, "It also says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from Jesus for a time. When else did he tempt Jesus? When Peter says, "No, you shall not die. We're going to take this healing thing on the road. You shall not die." That's after Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then the temptation and the agony in the garden. You see, the devil didn't stop tempting Jesus. He was tempted in all ways, but did not sin. Hallelujah. Tempted in all ways, but did not sin. So let's kind of go over the readings. The first reading was about covenant renewal, or the creed of Israel, that my father was a wandering Aramean, Abraham, and from there we were brought into Egypt by Joseph. Joseph becomes the governor, but then the Pharaoh forgets about Joseph, and then he mistreats the Jewish people. He even wants to kill every boy child. And so this is the renewal of the covenant that was made every year. And then they would bring the basket of first fruits and present them at the altar of God. We do the same thing. Right after our covenant renewal, the creed, we have the collection. We have the collection. So this is God's word. And God's word is very important. And most people don't even know what it's all about, because no one explains it to them. You renew the covenant, especially at Easter, but every Sunday when you say the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. Let's continue with 1 Samuel 24. And it came to pass, when Saul had returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way. There was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the side, in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day on which the Lord said unto you, Behold, I will deliver your enemy, Saul, into your hand, that you may do to him, that you may do thine hand, that you may go to them as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off his skirt of Saul's robe, and he did it when Saul didn't know it. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. Remember that Saul is out to get David because he's jealous of David. Saul kills his thousands and David kills 10,000. And Saul wants David dead. And he tries to kill David at every bend in the road. But you see, David will not kill Saul. Why? Because he is the anointed of the Lord, even though he lost the anointing. He is the anointed king of the Lord, and David will not kill Saul, no matter what, no matter how Saul tries to kill him. But he takes a little bit of the skirt of Saul. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, for he is the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing that he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterwards and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My Lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down before him. And David said to Saul, Wherefore hear thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeks to hurt you. Behold, this day your eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered today you into my hand in the cave. And he's going to prove that because he's got a little bit of his skirt. And some bade me to kill thee, but my eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth my hand against the anointed of the Lord, against my Lord. You see? You can't go against the anointing of the Lord. That's very important. Especially men of God and women of God. You can't go against them. Let God deal with them. We don't deal with them. God deals with them. We are not to go against the men and women of God. We are to pray for them. We are to pray for them. We are to pray for them. Moreover, my father, he's talking to Saul, see the skirt of your robe in my hand, for it is I who cut off the skirt of your robe, and kill thee not. I didn't kill you. Know you and see that it is neither evil nor transgression in my hand. I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and you, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. In other words, I am not going to go against you. You are still the anointed of the Lord, even though he lost the anointing. As said the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but my hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom do you pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and you, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of your hand. This is like cat and mouse. David's the mouse, and Saul is the cat, always trying to destroy David out of jealousy. Out of jealousy. Now the next part is Saul acknowledges his error. And it came to pass when David put an end to speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, Is this your voice, my son David? He's crazy. Saul's crazy. And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded you evil. And you have shown this day how that you has dealt well with me. Forasmuch as when the Lord had delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good, for thou hast done unto me this day. And now, behold, I know well that you should surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Swear now, therefore, unto me by the Lord, that you will not cut off my seed after me, and that you will not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David swore unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men got back and went to the hold. You see, this Saul is really crazy, and he's going to get crazier. You'll see how he gets even crazier when he goes to the witch of Endor, and he's going to call upon the spirit of Samuel, because Samuel died, and we'll go through that tomorrow. And Samuel died, and what happens? He wants to call on the spirit of Samuel. He's absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. And it's all out of jealousy. I told you jealousy is evil. Do not be jealous over people. You have no idea what they carry. You say, I want this, I want that, I want the other thing. Listen, I want Jesus. I want peace. I want to proclaim the word of God. I want to celebrate the Eucharist. I want to touch God's people. I want people to know that they make their covenant renewal every Sunday, that they say they're going to follow God, they're going to follow Jesus Christ, they're going to follow the Holy Spirit. Very important that we do that. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I want to remind you of 40 days for life. It started on Ash Wednesday, and it's at 1055 Commonwealth Avenue. People coming every day to pray that people's lives would be spared, that children's lives would be spared, that women's lives would be spared. There will be, on Tuesday, that's tomorrow, a rosary at 2 p.m. That's tomorrow, the 16th of February. It's very important that people pray outside the abortion mill. You might say, why? Because our prayers are powerful, and that means life can be spared. They hate us being there because we are bad for business. Even though our prayer is quiet and our prayer is not loud, I'm telling you, they hate people praying because it is bad for business. Even two people, they hate people praying. They hate it. So I want to invite you to 1055 Commonwealth Avenue, and that's in Boston, Massachusetts. And if you want to look online, www.40daysforlife.com/Boston. www.40daysforlife.com/Boston. And may Jesus Christ be praised. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.